Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Saturday morning prayer. Well, this morning we have a powerful prayer example, one that you know very well regarding Elijah. Elijah prays, and there was a drought. He prays again, and the drought ended. And then we see the Lord sustaining him for a period of time. The text is in 1 Kings 17, the first seven verses. Now, as we get into this, we have a commentary on this situation to a degree in the book of James, in the fifth chapter, verse 17, 18. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Can you believe that? And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So we see that's what's happening here. And so as we read the text, actually, in 1 Kings 17, beginning in verse 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, he's from the city of Tishbe, that's in actually in Jordan across the river, just to the east of roughly on the area of Samaria, but on over the Jordan, on the east side of the Jordan in the country today of Jordan, Tishbe. Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead and said to Ahab, now remember Ahab was the worst, most evil king they had had till that point. And he even compounded it by marrying Jezebel, who introduced the Baal worship into the land. And at that point, the land was totally turned pretty much against Jehovah for the most part. First, they had been worshiping golden calves. Now, on top of that, then they bring in Baal, and they're worshiping Baal with 850 prophets and so forth there. So now God is bringing judgment on the nation of Israel in terms of withholding the rain. So he calls on Elijah to pray for the rain to stop. So reading on here then, and it says, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, Elijah speaking, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. So that brings us back to where we were with the James account. So he prayed, and there was a drought for 3.5 years. Verse 2, then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward. Notice here, God is saying he's going to protect him, get away from this wicked king, get out of the country. So he goes across the river into Jordan. That's out of the jurisdiction of Ahab. And he is to get alone, get alone. And remember, there's a great application here for us. There are times, many times, particularly when God is preparing us for things, that he wants us to be alone with him. Be still and know that I am God, right? So get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. So a specific place where he is directing him to go. And verse 4 then says, and it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So notice in times of drought, what are you going to have? You're going to have an absence of something to drink and something to eat. And God says, go there and I will provide it to you. Now, he is, think of this, the Jewishness now in the reaction to this statement. I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Now, if you go back to the Levitical law in Leviticus and in Deuteronomy, you will see that with the prohibition of foods that the Israelites were to eat, one was unclean birds, including ravens. So they're not to eat or touch anything to do with the ravens. But here, God is using this unclean bird. He's going to be the one providing food morning and evening for Elijah for an extended period of time here at the brook Cherith. So the Lord says, I have commanded the ravens to feed you, so that's going to happen, because he's a promise-keeping God, is he not? Verse 5, so Elijah went and did. I like that. Notice the obedience here. He went and he did according to the word of the Lord. Oh, what a powerful statement that is. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. May we do that. May we have that obedient heart. May we be in the word. And then may we do it. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. Notice he steps by faith here, a step at a time. God doesn't tell him what's next. He just says, go down there and I'll take care of you. So he went. Of course, God had told him to pray, so he prayed. And then the drought is now underway. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And then we see the promise of the Lord being carried out here. Verse 6, the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat in the evening, sandwiches. I don't know where the ravens get the bread, where they get the meat, but God provided. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook Kidron. So God is providing, really, he's not really creating food here so much as redirecting it, it seems like, but still is a supernatural miracle. How a raven would supply bread and meat every morning and every evening to Elijah. But now we see the next step coming, as it were, and in verse 7, which will be where we will break today and then pick it up again next week. But verse 7, and it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now, we know God could have provided a spring there. He could have kept the brook running for Elijah had he so chosen, but he wants to move Elijah. And we will see he's going to move Elijah, causing Elijah to move now. He's going to tell him to go to Zarephath. We'll get into that next week in verse 9. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon. So that is Jezebel country. That's where Baal is practiced totally. And so you would think, why send him there? But God now is in control, obviously, always, and he's preparing Elijah for what lies ahead. And it's eventually going to come to the point of pinnacle, so to speak, when he takes on the prophets on Mount Carmel, which is in almost adjacent to the Zarephath woman area there in up in northern north of Israel, in today's Lebanon, period. So here's what we have then. Just look at the two or three things here that pop out of this scripture, it seems to me. One, the power of prayer. Prayer is powerful when it's prayed as led by the Spirit and when you're praying for what the will of God is. He wants to answer those prayers when he puts it in our hearts to pray for those things that he puts in our heart to do. And so this is what's happening here. We see Elijah prayed and it rained, and he prayed again. He will pray again at the end of the 3.5 years, and it will stop. And rain will come. We'll get into that as we move on in. And that's, of course, given to us in the 18th chapter of 1 Kings here. So power of prayer, number one. Number two, notice the importance of being alone with God. God told Elijah, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith. So are you spending time alone with God, enough time alone with God, just listening, communing, meditating in the word and in prayer with him? Then thirdly, be aware to be obedient, even if it's being fed by an unclean bird. And I mentioned in Leviticus, for example, Leviticus chapter 11, 13, we read, and these you shall regard as an abomination among the birds. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle, the vulture, the buzzard, verse 15, and every raven after its kind. So God here is instructing counter to, or overriding really, the Leviticus there. And here he's using an unclean bird to feed Elijah. So be obedient to what the Lord has for you to do, even if you don't understand it. Be obedient. And then fourthly, obedience by faith, one step at a time. God will never give us the second, third, fourth, fifth steps until we take the first step. And you wonder at the first step, this doesn't seem like it's making sense. Lord, tell me what this leads to. Well, he probably won't tell you what it leads to until you take it. And then he'll tell you what the second step is. And then You want to know what the third is? No, you have to take the second, and then he would give you the one at a time. So Elijah is told to do these things, and it says he did it. He went and did according to the word of the Lord. So step by step. So the step to go to Brook Cherith, he did. He was willing to be fed, of course, by the unclean bird, which he did, and God will sustain him, and developing his faith for the great showdown on Mount Carmel in about 3 years. Important preparation. And it would seem to me that all of us really, even every day in every way, we're either being called to do something or we're being prepared for a call to do something if the call is downstream. So here, Elijah called to do these things, and he is going to be used by the Lord in a powerful way. With that showdown at Mount Carmel coming a little bit after this. Let us go to prayer now and just pray for the precious body here this morning on the Saturday mornings, and just pray as led by the Spirit. And we know if we are praying as led by the Spirit, it will be in accordance with God's will. And we know if it's God's will, He will hear and He will answer. So let us pray in Jesus' name. And we read in 2 Corinthians here, just this great passage you know well. Thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and what through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge into every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? Not that our sufficiency is of ourselves, to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from you, from God, from you. Now, this next verse is so key to us, it seems to me, for from God, who what? Has made, who has also made us sufficient as what? As ministers. It's not those pastors out there, it's us. We are ministers. It says of the new covenant, of the gospel. And then notice this, we prayed a lot about the Spirit this morning, but it says, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. We know we've been each given the Holy Spirit. If we're a believer, we've got the Holy Spirit in us. Now, what are we doing with that glorious sufficiency from Him through the power of the Holy Spirit? And we can look at the book of Acts, and we can see over 30 years, there were some miracles there. If you break them down, there's not more than one a year or something like that. We're not looking for earth-shattering miracles. We're just looking for, we show up as He would ask us to and watch Him work, and we don't do anything but just show up. And how many times did that happen just this last week? I hope it happened often. And I know it will happen if we just say, Lord, I'm available. What would you have me to do this next 15 minutes? And He'll answer that prayer. But we're so busy doing other things. I don't know if busy is not the right word. We're so occupied doing other things. Oh, I got to find out what the latest 15-minute news says. Forget all that stuff. I don't mean forget all of it, but forget it, the details. You know, it doesn't matter every single thing that happened yesterday. We know sin is abounding. We know people are dying. We know they need the Lord. We have the good news. Who can we help? Who can we encourage? Who can we bless God by blessing others? And that's we all know that, but we need to make sure we're doing it. And the prayers this morning were so great, and so those were so inclusive from the scripture. So I just wanted to close with this just a cappella song. We'll just sing it. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Amen.
Father, we thank you for meeting us here this morning. Thank you for the prayers. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for dwelling in us, leading us and guiding us. Lord, may our lives reflect what you've done for us today, and may we be an instrument to be that light shining into that dark and dying world, to one, two, or ten, or however many you have that you'll put in our path, Lord. Help us to glorify you, and may your name be magnified in each of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.